and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we are getting ready to resume a discussion that we began on Tuesday. As I mentioned then, we are definitely into the holiday season, with Thanksgiving just a few days away. And by the time Christmas rolls around, it will seem like two more weeks will have passed, because time is showing up moving. But in the meantime, that does not negate the fact that we have a mix of responses that are being experienced by people right about now as we go through this holiday season. We have people who are really enjoying it. I imagine, you know, on different levels, different intensities. In fact, my guess is if we look back and kind of compare the way the holiday season seemed to have been, say, 30 years ago. For those of you who haven't been living 30 years ago, 18 years ago, 10 years ago, 3 years ago, compare the atmosphere in 2017 to what the atmosphere was like, the holiday atmosphere. Now, I'm not talking about all year round, just looking at the holiday season, moving into Thanksgiving, moving into Christmas, moving into the New Year's Day. The holiday season. Compare the level of excitement. Would you say that it's the same now as it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Would you say that it's greater now? Would you say it's less now? The level of excitement, the intensity of the time, and I mean intensity from a positive perspective. Would you say that we're about the same place as we were 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 12 years ago? Or would you say we're in a different place? Either way, people are still celebrating. People are still happy, even if not as intensely as in the past, still celebrating, happy. And on varying levels of joy, rejoicing, celebration, etc. But we still also have people who, again, maybe on varying levels of intensity, are finding this to be a difficult time to go through, because something in life has changed dramatically. And I'm thinking specifically about right now, the changes that people go through, the changes that people experience when something significant has taken place with regards to family. There's someone who has meant a lot to family for a long time, whether that's a grandparent, a parent, a child who is no longer with us. Something has happened, and someone who was with us is no longer with us. I tell you, as I mention that, I do again want to encourage you, young men, young women, middle-aged men, middle-aged women, older women, older men, regardless of your relationship with those around you, I really do want to encourage you to do everything in your power to help make this holiday season, as much as possible, a beautiful season. Because we don't always know when we may lose someone, whether we lose them because they have died, or whether we lose them because even though they're still alive, they are a very, very, very different person than we once knew them to be and than we expected them to be at this point in their lives and ours. A person has had something significant, some significant change take place in their lives, and even though they are still alive, their personality, their way of getting around is just so very different than we're accustomed to. And in some ways, like the person who has lost a loved one to death, person who has lost a loved one to some illness, like Alzheimer's, may be grieving. And so for some people, there will be a chair that will not be sat in by someone whom they're accustomed to seeing in that chair this holiday season. In other cases, the persons we expected to be in the chair will be in the chair, but they will not be the same person we have known for so long. You've known this person for years, and they're very different now because something has struck that has made them different. And it's a challenge for you to deal with that. So, as we do every holiday season, I'm coming alongside of you to share information that will hopefully help you move through this holiday season in as good a shape as possible. So we're taking a look again at some information that's being shared courtesy of WebMD about how we can help our caregivers stay well while caring for your loved ones. And we're approaching it from this angle this time. We are looking at some of the different emotions, feelings that the caregiver can experience while providing the care for your loved one. With some of these emotions and feelings being emotions or feelings that you may not want to experience, certainly probably would not want to experience, and definitely would not be comfortable admitting that you're experiencing. We want to help take the guilt out of the equation while at the same time identifying specifically what some of the emotions and feelings will be, may have been, may continue to be, so that you're able to put a name on what you're feeling. Very often, the experts let us know that when we can name what we're feeling, it can help us deal with what we're feeling. So we're going to identify the feelings, but we're also going to talk about what you can do about the feelings. And I do want to repeat that one of the things that we definitely want you to do is overcome your feelings of guilt so that you don't have feelings of guilt being piled on top of the other feelings that you're experiencing. So, earlier in the week, we looked at several other feelings, emotions that you might experience. And one of those sets of feelings was anger and resentment. And what you could do about that, and this is so critical, I definitely want you to think about this first one, this first step you can take to help cope with the feeling. I want you to think about this first one throughout all these other feelings too, and that is forgive yourself. One of the things that we pointed out was that with that anger and resentment deal, you might find yourself sometimes losing your temper. You may blurt out something that you normally wouldn't even think, much less blurt out. Acknowledge, just be aware of the fact that there's going to be some stress with what you're doing. I mean, there's going to be stress, just the fact that your loved one is either no longer with you or has changed so that they're not with you the way you're accustomed to them being with you. That in and of itself is going to be stressful. And after a while, that stress can build up and build to the point where maybe you really become so angry that you lose control. If that happens, forgive yourself and do what you need to do to regroup, to refresh, to calm yourself, to relax yourself, to settle yourself. And remember what we talked about when it comes to some of the various ways that we can de-stress. The deep breathing exercises we've talked about, the muscle relaxation exercises we've talked about. Well, I tell you what, just in case, even though we've talked about it a number of times, I know that you're not able to be with us every time we're on. So just to briefly go over that for those of you who may be able to benefit from these exercises but haven't heard how to do it, let me just briefly go over some of these again. The breathing It's going to be a deep breathing exercise where you slowly and deeply inhale through your nose. You may want to hold it if you can comfortably do so for the count of 10. And then slowly release that air back out, whether through your nose or through your mouth. Do it again. Slowly and deeply breathe in through your nose. Hold it for the count of 10 or whatever length of time you can comfortably hold it. And then slowly release that air. And repeat that about 10 times. Slowly and deeply breathing in through the nose, holding for a comfortable count, and slowly releasing it. Repeat that roughly 10 times. The time away from the situation will help, plus the deep breathing will help, because it's not just a psychological thing. It is also a physiological thing. You'll be releasing chemicals out of your body that will help you relax. You can also try the muscle relaxation exercises that I mentioned, where you will start with a muscle group, whether at the top of your body, your head, or the bottom of your body, your feet. Of course, if you start at the top, work your way down. If you start with your feet, work your way up. And all you're going to do is deliberately tense some muscles. If you're starting with your head, try to make the wrinkles in your forehead and hold for a comfortable count, maybe to the count of 10 again. And slowly relax those muscles in your head. Move on down to the muscles that attach to your neck and your shoulders and maybe your upper back. And take your time with this. Don't rush through it. So if it takes a little bit of time to really engage the muscle groups that we're talking about, you have time to do it. So just take your time. And the more you do this, the better you'll get at it, just like anything else. So tense those muscles, squeeze them together. Tense them, tense them, tense them. Hold for about the count of 10. And then slowly relax those muscles. And then tense another muscle group, maybe your chest. And if you want to include your stomach, your abdominal muscles, go ahead and do that. But whether you do just the chest and then later grab those abs, tensing them up, or you want to do both at the same time, whichever way, just tense, tense, tense for the count of 10, roughly the count of 10. All of these approximations for the count of 10. Or for the count that you go with, and slowly relax that muscle group. Keep doing that all the way down. Your thighs, your calves. When you get to your feet, you may want to consider curling your toes inward as though you're trying to hold a pencil with your toes on each foot. One pencil for each foot. Just pretend that a pencil is there and you're curling those toes inward, 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 holding, 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 and then slowly relax. Take your time with it. Don't rush through it because, again, the goal is to relax, to refresh. So take your time with it. And if you want to, once you've completed from head to toe, you may want to consider starting at the top, working your way down again, doing the exact same thing, and maybe doing that for 3 repetitions, where you'll tense and relax various muscle groups from top to bottom or from your feet up, 3 sets. That should help you relax. It should help you settle. It should help you refresh, regroup. Again, the time away will help, plus, and when I say time away, you can still be in the house, just not in the room where maybe the blow up occurred. And you go ahead and relax. Plus, not only the time away, movement away from the space where it took place, where the blow up took place, plus the physiological, chemical benefits that your body is experiencing as a result of the relaxation exercises that you're doing. Should help. Okay, so you can employ that anytime you want, but also remember, forgive, forgive, forgive yourself. All right, we also talked about fear and anxiety, particularly with regards to fear about if something goes wrong when you're not around or if you make a mistake. You can try to avoid focusing too much on what ifs, and you can keep your attention on things that you can control, like making a backup plan for when you can't be around. And then we also talked about grief. And as I mentioned, we definitely have some grieving going on. When we have lost someone to death, or when we have lost someone as we once knew them, it can bring on grief. So what can you do? Allow yourself to grieve. And in whatever way your spirit wants to grieve, go ahead and allow that to happen. It really is okay. And that's one way of releasing pressure. So not only is it okay to grieve, it is good to grieve. You don't want to get stuck in grief, but you do want to move through grief. All right, so that takes care of a review of what we talked about Tuesday. Now, here's another one related to something that I've mentioned a little earlier, and that is guilt. This is something that is very, very common, very, very familiar for many caregivers. Guilt that you're not doing enough, that you should be better at it. Guilt over thinking or feeling you just want it to end. I imagine that is a difficult reality to admit to yourself, much less to anyone else, that you wish this could just end. No need to deny that's what you're thinking, that's what you're hoping, even if it's only on occasion. Instead, this is what you can do. Go easy on yourself. If you feel like you're not doing enough, imagine if you weren't there. Imagine if you weren't there doing what you actually do. That'll help you notice the difference that you're making on a weekly basis for sure. Maybe you'll even see the difference that you're making on a daily basis. Again, that will help us. That'll help you with regards to, you know, being hard on yourself because you're thinking that you're not doing enough. What about this whole issue of thinking you just want it to end? Accept the fact that that is something that a lot of people are going to experience. Again, this is stressful, very stressful. Not saying that it is good or bad to sometimes think that. I wish this could just end. I don't think there's going to be any benefit to trying to determine whether it's good or bad. It is real. The thought, the wish is real. Forgive yourself and ask for more grace. Ask the Creator to give you more grace. Ask the Creator to give you even more ability to cope well with what you're going through. And forgive yourself again. You can also experience another duo of emotions. And let's take a look at those duos of emotions when we come back. And keep in mind, we are definitely going to be continuing throughout the discussion of not only identifying the feelings, but sharing what you can do about it.